Good morning. How's everybody doing? All right. So this morning we're going to, my topic is focus forward. Okay. So I want to, this is totally, totally so important biblically that we learn to set our eyes on what's ahead in the kingdom of God. And so to get us started this morning, we're going to read the whole chapter 11 of Hebrews, but I'm not going to read it. I've employed a professional reader for you. So, but it will be on the screen. It'll be in the New Living Translation. And I want you to focus here, and I want you to see if through these 30-something verses, you can figure out what the main idea is in Hebrews chapter 11. So, here we go.
That what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner, living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a city designed and built by God. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and was too old. She believed that God would keep his promise, and so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead, a nation with so many people that, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to count them. All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son Isaac, even though God had told him, "Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted." Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again, and in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he was about to die, said confidently that the people of Israel would leave Egypt. He even commanded them to take his bones with them when they left. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. And others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us.
Anybody know what the main idea is? Can I hear it again? Let's go back to verse number 1, if you guys can put that up for me. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the evidence of things we cannot see. Okay, you got that? Let me read it one more time. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things we cannot see. Verse 27, it said this, by faith Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Does that not crack you up? How do you keep your eyes on one that's invisible? By faith. What do you have faith in? What do you trust in? Faith shows the reality of what we hope for, the evidence of things we cannot see. What is your faith in? We just went through the Hall of Fame of Christian heroes, believers from the Old Testament. Abraham, the father of our faith. Moses, the deliverer. All the other people it talked about. It said they didn't even receive the promise. They died not receiving it, but they were unhindered. Unhindered. Focused forward. Never turning back. Why? Because they had faith. Faith to move mountains. Faith to keep forward moving because they knew God was taking them somewhere. How easy do we give up? How easy do we stop? How easily do we get discouraged? I hope today, by the time you leave here, you will be infused with the same kind of faith that the heroes of our faith had. Guys, they didn't even have the Holy Spirit, every one of them, in their heart like we do. I mean, they were waiting for what we now easily, freely, by grace, enjoy. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells inside of us. We have a relationship with God where He talks to us. We talk to Him. These people had more faith than most of us do, and they didn't even have the Holy Ghost. It convicts me so deeply. These people had very little to work with. We have 66 books in the Bible. We can hear from God anytime we want. Just open it up and read it. And yet we have men walking around all the time saying, I just wish I could hear from God. Read your Bible. He spoke to you. He'll bring it alive to you. Abraham didn't have a Bible. Moses didn't have a Bible. They had an internal witness. Moses had his eyes set on something invisible. It's the same thing we have our eyes focused on today. Jesus Christ is in this meeting today. Can you see Him? The Word of God says, where two or three gather in My name, Jesus said, I'm there in the midst. Oh God, that You would open our eyes, that we could keep our eyes focused on what's invisible. But so many times we're not focused on what's invisible, we're focused on what is visible. What the world measures as success is what we've got our eyes focused on. Fear of the future, anguish of the things that are going on around us, concern, worry, whatever you want to call it. We are so focused on now that we get bogged down. And these are the heroes of the faith. They didn't let anything stop them. Oh, they weren't perfect. Ain't nobody in the book perfect. Read the book, man. It should encourage you so much. These were messed up people, and God did great things through them. That gives me hope every day, because I'm a messed up people. Thank you, God, that You can use messed up people. But what was compelling them was their faith. I mean, our faith is so plain to us. It is written down in black and white and red in this book. We know, we can recite back to you, Jesus came to the earth to take away our sins. Jesus paid the penalty, so now I'm free. Jesus took on sickness so I can be well. Jesus took on poverty so I can be rich. Jesus took on the sin of the world so I can be sin free. See, we know all this stuff, but yet we don't even live a life half as exciting as the heroes of the faith. What is wrong with us? These are the kind of conversations I have with myself, by the way. You're just getting in on an internal conversation. I say this to myself, what is wrong with you, Brad? You have the Holy Spirit and you're discouraged. What is wrong with you, son? I think that might be what God says to me. He knows I'm perfected in Him, and He wonders why I'm floundering, flopping around on the floor like a fish when I could be going forward, keeping my eyes on the invisible God. Do you know the promises of Scripture? Do you know what God says about you? Do you know what He's given to you? I hope before you leave today that you can be re-envisioned to focus forward. The next verses after all that was read right there. By the way, the word faith is mentioned 26 times in 40 verses. I think God wants us to get a message out of Hebrews 11. Faith. The looking forward to what we cannot see. The evidence of things we cannot see. The reality of things that we hope for, the evidence of things we cannot see. What's your faith in today? Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have, therefore, but what? All that we just read. Those 40 verses in Hebrews 11. Then here we pick up in 12, verse 1. Because of all these people and what they did, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us. Why? Because if Abraham could do it, surely I can. Because if Enoch could do it, surely I can. Because if Moses could do it, surely I can. Because I have the revelation of who Jesus is. I have the Word of God in my hand and in my heart. I have a new covenant reality, and everyone we just read about were in the old covenant. Wake up, men. You could live an exciting, powerful, experiential life with God, and yet you're the most boring people on the planet sometimes. I'm sorry if it hurts your feeling, but if the shoe fits, wear it and let it hurt your feelings. Are you exciting? Are you full of life? Do people want to be around you? Are you just a dud? We have the God of the universe in our hearts, and we're always full of why we can't rather than why we can. People give up way too easy. People drop out like flies. What about you? Where are you going to be next year? I'm going to tell you where I'm going to be. I'm going to be standing in the house of the Lord, lifting holy hands to Him, leading my wife, leading my family, leading those around me to a better experience with God. What are you going to be doing in a year? What are you going to be doing in 5 years? Well, I don't know. We'll just see. Well, good luck. If you don't have a vision, if you don't have a faith, if your eyes aren't fixed on the invisible God, you will not make it in the kingdom of God. What's your vision? We did this a few weeks ago, last time I spoke. I said, what's your vision? What's your short-term vision? What's your long-term vision? What compels you? What motivates you forward? What wakes you up on Monday morning to go to work? Is it just that you have to pay the bills? I'm proud of you for working, but could you get a better motivation? Just paying the bills? Just getting by, Pastor Brad. How you doing? Just getting by. Well, I'm not going to hang out with you then. I'm going to hang out with somebody who has a vision. God lit me on fire the day He saved me. I'm going to go and I'm going to do what God called me to do, and I'm going to be successful in that vision He's given me for my life. That's the kind of people I'm going to hang out with. I cannot. I'm not good enough to hang out with people who don't have faith. They'll drag me down. Now, I can reach to people who don't have faith. I can sow seeds in people who don't have faith. I can compel them to come with me. I'm not saying you shun the world. But, guys, you got to get a core group of faith-filled men. You got to get a core group of friends who will encourage you and lift you up and help you get refilled with the same kind of faith Abraham had. He went going with only a word. Come on, man. What are you going on today? Have you got a word? Have you got a vision? Have you got a goal for the next 6 months? Have you got a goal for the next 3 years? Have you got a goal for 10 years from now? Man, I've had a goal for 20 years that when my kids leave home, my wife and I will still like each other. And so far, so good. She told me just this weekend, it's getting better every day. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Because I don't really know all the time. I'm just trying. And so I love my kids, and I want my kids to follow God. And I mean, you know how it is, man. You're sowing everything you've got into those kids because you want them to have a successful life. But when the nest is empty, what's going to happen with you and mama? Lots of people divorce after that. Why? Because they lost vision. Lots of people just don't divorce. They just live two separate lives in the same house. Because all they knew to do was chase kids. And when kids are gone, see, I'm thankful that I've got a long-term goal. That keeps me sowing into my marriage relationship and not forgetting how important the wife of my youth is. What's your long-term goal? What's your short-term goal? Because if you don't have any goals in your life, you will get picked off. Because life's too hard if you don't have vision. And here in Hebrews 12:1, it says this, you need to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles you. What is it that trips you up when you decide, I'm going for God, I'm going to do this, and then here comes this temptation? What is it? What is the sin that will trip you today if you're not aware of it when you decide to go for God? Here in a minute, you're going to have a chance to tell somebody at your table what your besetting sin is, the sin which so easily entangles you. And then it gives you the answer. Lay aside the sin. Verse 2, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. You need to get rid of the sin and fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Do you remember the day that you met him? Oh, I do. Man, he washed my heart clean. I felt his presence. I knew he was real. How often do you feel that feeling? That he's real, that he's washed you clean, that you know he's with you. Well, that should be your every day. Every morning when you wake up, whoo, God saved me, he washed me clean. I got a purpose to live for. Come on. Maybe some of y'all need to do that. Maybe some of you need to get a vision. Because if you don't have a vision, a goal, a focus, you'll just get entangled in sin. The enemy has set traps for you everywhere you go today. There are entangling trip-ups, stumbling blocks all along your path today. But if you're focused on the invisible God, isn't it crazy? You're not looking at the path, you're focused on the God, and somehow intuitively you know to step to the left and jaunt to the right and miss the trap of the enemy. Why? Because I'm focused on sin? No, because I'm focused on Jesus. And he speaks to my heart, and he leads me day by day. And you know what? He also uses my friends. Did you know that so many times, at just the right time, somebody sends me a text message and gives me a word? Sometimes at just the right time, somebody crosses my path and says, hey man, God's been speaking to me to tell you this, and boom, it's what I needed. Get some friends like that. That's why it's important to come to Brave Hearts. That's why it's important to come to church and show up at Life Group. That's why it's important to get a group of men who believe like you believe, who have faith like the heroes of the faith, who are fixing their eyes on Jesus. Because you can't do this alone. If you're going to focus forward, you need to be surrounded by forward-focusing men. Hey, and I'm trying to be mean here. But just because somebody's sitting at your table today doesn't mean they're a man of God. I'm smiling. Just because somebody shows up at church doesn't mean they're somebody you should follow. Look at the fruit in their life. You want a better marriage? Find somebody who you like what their marriage looks like and go hang out with them. You want to be successful in your business? Find somebody who's successful in a godly way in their business and go take them to lunch and say, I need to learn something from you. You see somebody has a great relationship with their kids, then you go find them and say, how can I learn from you what you're doing with your kids? Because I want that kind of, see what I'm saying? Don't be so prideful to think that you got it all together. I have no idea how to live this life, but God has put people around me who are smarter, brighter, faster, stronger, and I can lean on them. They're all around this room. Most of the men in this room are men of God. But look at the fruit before you decide to receive. Taste the water before you take a big gulp. You see what I'm saying? If you're going to be successful as a man of faith, you got to put aside the sin that so easily encumbers. You got to fix your eyes on Jesus, and you've got to get forward focused. The next passage of scripture that's a correlation to this is Philippians 3, verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul saying, I've not already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. Focus forward, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of. Think about being laid hold of. That doesn't sound passive to me. I like to think of it like this. I was headed out in the street and to get run over by a Mack truck, and Jesus grabbed me up by the lap of my neck and said, I'm going to save you, you goofy kid. You don't know what you're doing, Snellgrove, but I love you. And I'm going to take you from the path of destruction, and I'm going to put you on a narrow path that's full of blessings. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus, for laying hold of me. Thank you for laying hands on me. Thank you for not letting me go the way of destruction. And the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to then aggressively lay hold of him because he aggressively rescued me. See, there's a response. You can't just come to church and go, well, I came to church. Why isn't everything better now? I mean, golly, I like got up and combed my hair, brushed my teeth, and made it to a chair in the church. Everything should be fixed now. That's just the beginning. You might need to take what you hear at church and apply it to your life. You might need to, when the worship music is played, not just listen, but know that's my opportunity to connect with God. Why do we do church? Why do we do Brave Hearts? Why do we do all this stuff? So you can have an experience with God. And if you're just sitting there observing, you're not experiencing. See, we're a spectator nation. I go home in the fall. I love the fall because I love football. And I turn on the TV and I live vicariously through people who work their buns off day after day. Touchdown. God, and I did nothing. I'm a spectator. Christianity, there's no grandstands. There's no audience, except for the ones who have died and gone on. The only people spectating are the ones who earned that place. They're in heaven cheering us on. They're the great cloud of, they're going, come on, David. Come on, Ben. Come on, Jim. Come on, Jerry. Come on, Brian. Let's go. It says they're a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. I always like to add my grandma to that group. My grandma was the most holy person I'd ever met. My grandma didn't care about this world. She only cared about Jesus. You know what? She died owning a trailer house and an Oldsmobile and a little piece of land. In the eyes of the world, she wasn't successful. But in my eyes, she's my hero. Because she prayed for me. I would go from high school and I would stop by grandma's house and she would pray for me. Is there anything more important? There were other people in my life who gave me really nice gifts, who expressed themselves in them, but grandma instilled faith in me. What are you instilling in people? What are you giving away? Who's cheering you on today? I tell you what, there's 40 verses of heroes cheering you on. What else do you need? Let's get with it, man. God's called us for a purpose. If you need me to motivate you, you are in a bad way. I'm a pretty good motivator, I would say. But it ain't worth much. What motivates you? What wakes you up on Monday morning? My God has a purpose for me. You go, I don't have any goals. I don't have any vision. Today, you could get some. Today, you could get a new focus. Today, you could become a person on purpose. You could focus forward. And here's what the Apostle Paul says in verse 13 of Philippians 3. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do. What does he say? What's the word? Forgetting. Come on, say it with me. Forgetting. What do you need to forget today? It says forgetting what lies behind. Reaching forward to what lies ahead. What do you need to forget? Everything. Oh, I've made a name for myself. I'm a super successful person. When I walk out in this community, people know who I am. Forget about it. Oh, I'm just a miserable failure. I thought I was free and then I fell back in. I'm a nobody. Forget about it. Oh, because today is your day of faith. Today is your day to focus forward. The Apostle Paul was a holy man. And he said, I ain't going to think about yesterday. I'm going to focus forward. Why? Because God laid hold of me and I'm not going to let him down. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to grab onto him with all I've got and say, Jesus, take me somewhere because I'm not here for nothing. I'm here on purpose. It says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't think God's into rewards, you don't know God. Come on, man. You ought to be after those rewards. Did you see it all through that chapter 11? The reward is coming to those who believe. They were rewarded, even though they didn't experience it all. When they bust heaven wide open, there was a parade for them. It said, you held on to the faith, and now I want you to cheer on all these men at Braveheart. I see my grandpa and my papa. And my grandma cheering me on. How about you? Maybe you go, I don't have anybody. Well, you got Moses and Aaron and Abraham cheering you on. Come on, you can do this. Get up off the field, shake the dust off, and run another play. Because a touchdown is in your future. Expect a miracle. Something good's going to happen in your life. Focus forward. Forget the past. Focus forward on the future. This is what he says in that passage. I am his. He apprehended me. He possessed me. He laid hold of me. He called me. What else do you need today? What else do you need to convince you that you're valuable, that you're important, that your life matters? He laid hold of you. These are from all different translations of that same passage in the book of Philippians. He possessed me. He apprehended me. And he put me in the right place. Guys, what else do you need to go forward in your faith? Well, I'll tell you what you might need. You might need some encouragement. You might need somebody today to put their arm around you or their hand on your shoulder and say, I believe in you, man. It doesn't matter what the past says. Today is your day to focus forward. And if you can focus forward today, the possibilities for you are endless. What's your vision? There's four questions we can answer as we leave today. It's 7:14 and 46 seconds. What is the sin that so easily entangles you? What do you need to forget about your past? And what do you need to focus on for your future? Now, I want to invite you guys to pray over these things. Maybe take a picture of it, take it home. Talk about these things here at your table today. Receive some encouragement. Before I close, I want you to know, next week, We got one of my heroes of the faith speaking here at Braveheart. Travis Street's going to be preaching next Tuesday at Braveheart. Travis is a walking, living, breathing miracle, and he is more rabid, passionate about Jesus than anybody I know. I love hanging out with Travis. You're going to love what you get from him next week here at Bravehearts. I want you to bring everybody you can think of to hear Travis preach next week, because God has called him and God has anointed him, and he's going to light your fire next week. So make sure you bring a friend to Bravehearts next week and hear what God wants to say through this young man of God. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you today that you've given me the privilege of being a part of this group of men. I thank you that you've given me a grace to even get up and say something. God, I hope that something I said today matters. I hope that something I said today lifts up, encourages, builds, and strengthens. Anything I said that wasn't from you, let it just disappear. But the words that came from your heart, Jesus, let them be multiplied and magnified in the hearts of these good men. And let us forget what lies behind. Focus forward on your kingdom purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.